Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Blue Collar BS with your co-host Brad
and Steve.
And we are here with another episode of the Blue Collar BS podcast, where Mr. Doyle and I will have some fun. And today's topic, Mr. Doyle, is going to be what?
Selling. Why not?
Selling. Right? We've been talking about this race to the bottom and different things. And I am seeing home service organizations and other manufacturing organizations that are struggling to learn how to adapt in changing markets. Are you seeing similar in your client base?
Not necessarily adapting to changing markets. It's more the, I would say, the hesitancy now of things. Hesitancy to spend money.
Okay.
Right. Versus the, you know, whether they're government contracts or they are, you know, homeowners.
Speaking of governments, you remember our guest, Ann Eschenbach?
Yeah.
I reconnected with her and she is starting a different potential project than the one in the Carolinas that is potentially even more exciting than the first one, which will create opportunity to have two large projects versus just one. It's pretty freaking cool. So anyhow, sorry about hesitancy. She's not hesitating. She's moving forward.
Good. That's good. So the thing with the homeowners that we're seeing here is just the hesitancy to spend money for, you know, doing any updates to their homes or things like that. That's just a natural thing that occurs. Yeah, we're not a political show, but this politics does come into play right now, especially where we are in the election cycle. So we are seeing some of that. Yeah. So that's what's interesting. Some of the things that I have been seeing more is specifically around sales is all in positioning. And how are we positioning ourselves for our future clients?
Elaborate more on what you define as positioning there, Mr. Doyle.
When we think of positioning, it's what is the first thing that comes into your mind when you associate with a word? So humor me, Brad. When you think of soda, what comes to mind? What brand comes to mind?
What brand? For me, Diet Pepsi, because that's what I drink.
Okay. When you think of shoes, what brand comes to mind?
What kind of shoes are we talking about?
Doesn't matter.
It does matter because each brand has a little different niche in my world.
Weird.
You got to remember I'm a shoe whore, so you got to remember that.
Oh, something new comes out. Right? But right? So let's talk golf then, Brad. When you hear the word golf, what brand comes to mind?
Ooh, again, depending upon what we're talking about, balls, clubs, shoes.
Doesn't matter. Pick one.
Shirts.
Pick one. Go with clubs. It doesn't matter.
Go with clubs. Clubs would be Mizuno.
Okay. Go with balls.
Titleist.
Okay. The whole thing with positioning, those brands are etched in your mind. You're going to consistently go to those brands you know, like, and trust. From a positioning standpoint, from selling, how are you positioning yourself? So from a company standpoint, a construction company, how are you positioning yourself to be that brand that comes to people's mind without saying, you know, I do plumbing. I do, you know, bathrooms, roofs, and more. Okay, that's not right. It doesn't matter. Like, does that come to mind? No. Like when you think of a plumber, right? It doesn't matter the trade, but when you think of that company, what comes to mind? And what did that company do to position themselves to be top of mind? So a lot of the conversations I have in sales is, how do we become top of mind? How do we position ourselves to be top of mind with our future clients.
Right. And too often, everybody focuses on what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A plumber, what are you going to, I'm going to fix the leak. Yeah, but I can call any plumber to fix the leak. I can Google and get 2,000 of them within a hour radius of your home. Mm-hmm. So yes, you are correct. It's not focusing on the what you're going to do, but the why you might be doing it, or the mm-hmm. emotion that comes along with doing it, or the why is this different? I know I have a client in manufacturing where they want to be the high mix, low volume.
Mm-hmm.
And when he changed his positioning to be high mix, low volume, because that's what he was geared for and what he can do and what's really good at, his business changed, because the buyers on the other end are always sold to for, I want all your production work. I want your production work. They didn't want that. I want the thing you got like three of that completely fucks up your entire shop for months at a time. Mm-hmm. Those are the things I want.
Yeah.
Not the things that you do. I want to do the things that cause problems for you. And his business flourished when he started making the positioning change.
Yeah. And that's the whole point, is for our audience to truly understand our clients. When we work with them, we get them really to focus on who is it you're serving and how do you want to be recognized? How do you want to be known? What do you want to be known for? Because that's what all great brands do. So as much as selling is about, you know, there's the brand awareness, there's all of that, it comes down to the messaging, and it comes down to how do you want your clients to see you? What light do you want your clients to see you in?
Hopefully not dark, dirty, and dangerous.
Well, I mean, look at Dirty Jobs, right? With Mike Rowe. He's known for something. He's known for Dirty Jobs.
Well, by the way,
he's known for some other things.
Still hasn't been a guest on the show. Hey, Mike, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on.
Right? Always got to put that out there.
Absolutely.
So when we talk messaging, let's peel that back a little bit, Brad. So when we talk about messaging to our clients, what are some things that people need to pay attention to from a messaging standpoint?
They need to pay attention that words matter.
Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, I can't have a logo that I can't have a logo, you know, that says FU on it.
So that goes for Alan Fisher. So the backstory, folks, is I have a financial advisor in my network who has this monthly newsletter that goes out, and we were brainstorming. And I said, let's make it the Fisher Updates. And so I made him a logo with a big FU on it. And lo and behold, it didn't pass compliance. Shockingly, compliance said, no, you can't use that. It was funny as hell, but shockingly, they said no.
Right. So words matter. Right? How does that impact for, let's say an electrician? How do words matter for an electrical company?
So like we're here to fix all your electrical problems. Ho hum, right?
Yeah.
I use the word fix. I'm talking your, which we're talking about them, and we talk about problems. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you've now put the problem on the customer, and you're there to be the hero to fix it. So mm-hmm. your customer is now the villain, not the hero.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that just comes off. To some, it doesn't matter because they don't pay attention to it. They don't think about it. They don't worry about it. They just need their switches to work when they turn it on. And
right.
Cool. You fix my problems. That will resonate with a lot of people potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward, probably not so much, because it's the dynamics have shifted and things have changed.
Mm-hmm. So moving beyond the words, what else from a sales perspective have you run into?
Very poor presentation, right? When we go through our sales skills index, they skip mm-hmm. all the steps, right? They don't create the rapport in many cases, because I got to do the next thing. I'm really busy. And that body language and demeanor in front of that customer tells them that you're really busy and you're just there stopping by to say hi and slap a number on it type scenario.
Right.
So you really need to develop that rapport and that relationship with the customer first, because if you don't believe in them, they're not going to believe in you either.
Right. Yep.
And not just rapport. Yeah.
So usually that's usually one of the first things that goes horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I've noticed that goes wrong with, you know, after rapport is just the tone of our voice, the pitch of our voice. That actually comes into play as well when we're in those prospecting first impression type scenarios. From a sales perspective, are you coming across, you know, pushy? Are you coming across, or are you coming across with concern for your clients?
Well, we just had some other folks on talking about their sales journeys and things like that. But too often the salesperson, why are you trying to sell me this? Are you trying to sell it to me because you're a full commission and your family is depending upon you to make this sale? So you come off pushy, you come off with I gotta make the sale, I'll do everything to make it happen. Are you coming at it with a scarcity mindset, or are you coming at it with an abundance mindset? The right. biggest thing I can say that changed my business is when I decided that I needed to stop selling to people and let people buy from me.
Yes, 1,000%.
And
same thing.
That may sound really weird to people. It's like, no, I'm going to provide the information. I'm going to be cordial. I'm going to support them however I can, whatever information it's going to need. And if they want the products or services that we offer, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, that's okay too.
Right.
Because there is plenty for everyone. And and if you don't believe that, then you're already losing at the sales game.
Right. The other thing that I've noticed is when having conversations with people, most people are ready to tell you about the tangible things they do. Like, yeah, we come in, you know, we'll replace all your outlets. We'll replace all the, you know, the cover plates, you know, we'll come in and, you know, run a diagnostic and whatever else it is. So they tell all that stuff, but that really doesn't really engage the buyer on the other end. They're not painting a picture of the possibility of the frustration, the concern that the buyer has. Right. And so if we start flipping this, flip the script to be more curious, right? Read the person, you know, understand, you know, how does this person like to communicate, but also focus on what is their real concern? Why do they want all this stuff? You know, if somebody called you up, your electrician called you up and said, hey, you know, I want all my outlets replaced. Okay. That's, you know, $5,000. Okay, but if we started to get into the why do you want them replaced? What's really going on? We might start to understand what is the real problem that's happening with what our clients are having.
Yeah, we just want to update to the new color. We don't want the ivory anymore. We want gray or black or whatever it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or they might have found out that, hey, you know, my relative had a house fire, and it was because their outlets were old. Like they had a faulty outlet, caught their whole house on fire. Somebody is now in the hospital. I don't want that to happen to me.
True. Right. And was it? Yeah. There's lots of other questions beyond that, but yes.
Correct.
The other part, very concerning when you start getting into this world as well, is how do you paint the picture of how you're going to treat that client's home? Right. Do you ask for permission to park on the driveway? Is it going to be okay if we use the driveway and can we use the garage entrance to come in and out so we don't track all the stuff through your main living area? Just asking that question alone will differentiate you from 99% of all the other folks.
Right.
The client may not give two hoots of what door or what entrance you come through, but by asking the question, you demonstrate that you care about them and their home.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're going to be a guest in their home and you're going to treat their home respectfully, not just come in, bang your four buckets that you're carrying in through the front door, dragging them on the floor. No, that's not what they want to see or hear or care about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what else, Brad, have you seen with your clients from a sales process that could be improved?
One, have a process.
Yep.
How about we have a process?
Not just a process, but also a detailed process that talks about what to say and when, how to handle objections.
Right. How to handle objections, how to write an email, how to get return phone calls. Is it return phone calls? Is it stopping in? Well, I forget what the number is. I think the number is like 7 contact points after you deliver the quote, potentially, in order to get a decision at some point is the average, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm. 7 to 8. Yep.
Follow-up is the biggest thing. And we often forget. Forget about the follow-up. Yeah. It's like practice. What? Playoffs.
Exactly.
Follow-up is critical and key. And being able to keep that in the front of mind and following up in a way that is not, like I said before, not selling, but being able to let them buy, right? Doing the follow-up of, hey, I sent the follow-up of just looking for a status on our quote with you. Let me know if you have any questions. Well, no one's going to react to that versus the Mr. Smith, thank you very much for your opportunity. It's coming to the end of the month. I know you were talking about trying to have this done by Thanksgiving. We're booking out right now to the second week of November. We still have room for you. If we can help you out, just let us know.
Right.
Perfect. Right. I mean, that is a follow-up that's going to provide them opportunity with no pressure, no sale, nothing. It's like, oh, okay, great. You're going to give them a choice or a decision to say yes or no.
Right.
Versus that guy's an asshole, so stop pestering me and you go to the spam folder.
Right.
I mean, you've all had those sales folks. You've all had that opportunity. You've all put your business card in the fishbowl for the event to win the TV. And 2 days later, you get the phone call. Did I win the TV? No, but we'd like to sell you all the. And it's the robocall scenario. And many do it very poorly. Some do it really well to have the conversation. But most do it very, very poorly because they're just trying to get to the next step. It's tactical versus relational. And understanding if you're a relational seller or a, you know, strategic, understanding where you fit in that mark is important.
With knowing where people kind of fall with their sales process or not have a sales process, what are the top 3 recommendations you would have, or that we would have, we might come up with for someone looking to improve their sales process?
Funny. I'm just trying to find the book. Where is it here?
The book?
Yeah, a book that I was listening to. It's a really good book. It's a good sales book.
Oh, what's the title?
I'm trying to find it here. The Challenger Sale.
How to Challenger Sale. Okay.
The Challenger Sale.
The Challenger Sale. Okay.
Yep, by Matthew Dixon. It's more about being a little bit more forceful, challenging this, providing solutions, challenging the emotional side of it, bringing some of the emotion in as to paint the picture of how the solution that you're offering puts them in a better spot tomorrow than they are today type scenario.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So
it is a good book. It's got a lot of great information in it. I'm going to tell you right now, it's dry as hell, but it's a good book. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. So that'd be one thing. Find that opportunity. The other thing that I have is another book from the cold calling coach, Paul Neuberger. So if you're a cold call organization, this is another great opportunity to, and I'm not getting Paul and I know Paul, he lives here in the Milwaukee area. He is a fantastic dude. The Secrets to Cold Call Success by Paul Neuberger would be another book that I would recommend. It's about how to get responses back on your phone calls and on your emails.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Mine recommendation on a book, honestly, it's going to be my NEPQ book, my Black Book of Questions.
Black Book of Questions.
Yep. They're science-based questions from a selling perspective.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Weird.
Huh. You didn't have that book 8 years ago, did you?
I did not have that book 8 years ago. They did not. And I wish I would have. Honestly, I wish I would have. But what it really goes into is how do we bypass that sales resistance that we have? But it's also from a mindset for those that, you know, may have some struggles of, you know, what do I say? When do I say it? You know, how do I set up my sales organization? This takes all of that into account and helps set you up for success.
What was it? The Black Book of Questions? What was it called?
The NEPQ Black Book of Questions is one. It's from Seventh Level. Then the other one that I really like is The New Model of Selling.
Why can't I find that book on my Amazon
here, buddy? Weird.
Oh, that's why, you piece of
that
shit.
That is
you.
Why. Yeah, that is why. That is why. So.
Well, hook up a friend, would you?
Yeah, I'll hook up a friend.
Hook up a friend. We'd be remiss as well to not throw out there that, you know, the organization that we're part of with our Focal Point Franchise Opportunity is all predicated on Brian Tracy's work in that sales arena.
Yep.
He has a lot of different things. We have content, we have different things for it, but it's not, I'm just to be honest, it is good, but it is maybe needs some more refreshing and some twist to it for it to be practical and to the market.
It's great base work. The stuff that we're talking about now helps enhance that.
Correct.
Even for us as being master coaches, we still have to learn. We have to continuously learn, sharpen our saws. And so there's always something new to learn, different ways, different approaches. And so we do strive to continuously find and refine what we do to help serve our clients better.
Yeah. The biggest thing I can recommend anyways, have a process, have documentation, have a place to track it. Invest in contractor foreman, invest in something that can allow you to manage and track, whether it's the free HubSpot or contractor foreman to help you do your estimates and flow it all through, whatever the tool is, find an automation tool that can give you the reminders, give you the things to say, I need to do those. And then you eliminate the excuse of the, oh, I forgot. And now you have only the decision you have made to do something or not to do something,
right,
to deal with versus your own memory or your own opportunity. So process will be key in any sales effort. And it's like anything. It's like training to be a football player back in high school, whatever it is. It's still training. You have to do it repetitively to get good at it. And if you decide that you're going to half-ass it, then it's always going to be half-ass. And the worst thing I don't ever want to hear people say is, well, I'm not a salesman. Well, everybody sells something, and everybody does. It doesn't matter whether or not you are a professional salesperson or not. You are always selling something. You may be selling your ideas to your boss upstream to influence them to take on a new idea or a new initiative. You might be selling something to your family members. So let's go on vacation because it's something you want to do or don't want to do. We're always selling and influencing in just about every conversation we have.
Right.
So don't forget that and do not belittle yourself as you go through the process.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more, Brad.
All right, Mr. Doyle, we will talk to you again soon on the next episode of the Blue Collar BS podcast. And oh, by the way, congratulations to us for reaching number 5 on the FeedSpot top 40 Blue Collar podcasts to follow.
Nice work, Brad.
So we are up to number 5, and we thank you, our audience members, for all of your support and kind words. And, you know, be great to make it to number 3. So let's try to make that a goal, shall we?
Oh, we shall. Now that we put it out there, we have to.
Yep. There you go.
Here we go.
So we'll talk to you later, sir.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Brad.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.